In this season, God will do you good.
Amen.
God will reward your labor of love.
Amen.
Seeing so much labor on ground, and I cannot deny that you have labored. Tonight, while I was preparing this evening, to be part of this meeting, and I was just meditating, the Lord brought a scenario back to my mind. And I remember listening to Dr. Tunde Bakare so many years ago. And he was giving an instance of how a lady was going to marry a military man, an Air Force officer. And I hope you know that after the wedding in church and they're going out, there's a crossing of sword. So they marched through and then they went to the end. They gave him a sword to charge through the wife. And normally, in that ceremony, you will run with the sword as if you are going to pierce the heart of the woman. And the wife was just laughing and smiling. And when he got to her, he stopped. And then he put the sword back. And, you know, that was the kind of ceremony that was done in the day. And then Bakare said he had to ask the lady later. He said, "Why were you not afraid when he was charging at you with that sword and was coming with that full force and velocity?" And the woman said, "I may not know the sword, but I know the heart that controls the hand that is holding the sword." I'm not taking for granted this privilege tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. That my friend is out there ministering somewhere, and then he commits his pulpit to my hand to minister in his absence. The only reason why he will do that is because he knows the heart that will handle the microphone that will minister to his people. So tonight, I'd like us in absentia to appreciate the father of this house, Apostle Aaron Elsa. Come on, make a joyful noise and celebrate your father. It's a great honor, and I'm not taking for granted. When I saw Mama this morning, because we were not able to see yesterday evening when I came in, I said, "I'm going to give my friend a medal." Because it must only be by his effort and handwork that Mama is looking the way she's looking. Oh my God. Now, if he goes to write jam in BSU right now, I'm not sure that they will deny her admission. Because he's looking like a jambite. Let's appreciate Apostle Arame one more time for this great work. Mama, thank you for standing by him and being called to the same work. And I can see the progress that has been done. God reward you. Reverend Don, Reverend Dan, every other minister in the house, our mommies and elders of this ministry, I greet you all. I'm doing all this because of... I may not have time to do this again throughout this conference. So for every minister, even if you are in the congregation and you came for this meeting, we thank you for coming. And for every one of you, I want to say that I came this time to bless you deeply.
Amen.
One thing is sure, you will never remain the same.
Amen.
There's this song you were singing when I was alighting from the car. "Light in the Darkness." I like us to worship with that song. Do you like to worship tonight? Please, if you are sitting down, I would like you to stand up. You see, this worship tonight is not just that normal song of worship that we're doing. If you are sick here tonight as you worship, your chain can be broken.
Amen.
You came in here with a burden tonight. I just like you to forget that burden and just worship the King. Can you stand to your feet? You may not be able to stand, but I'm asking you to stand. Stand. Hallelujah. You will not fall down. And in this meeting, whatever it is that is a challenge will be crushed to its roots.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So I'd like us to worship God. We don't need to motivate you to worship God. We need to do that tonight. Eternal Father, we thank you tonight. We exalt you because of this great day that you have made and the privilege to worship at your feet. Lord, we are asking tonight that you will show us the mercy that you promised. To the intent that everyone that will live here today will not live here the same way they came. Heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed. Let a mighty army rise from here today. Let world changers rise from here today. Let men and women with solution to their generation rise from here today. Thank you, precious one. Jesus' anointed name we pray. And if you are a believer in the house, let me hear the amen like thunder. I'd like you to walk to at least 7 people before you sit down and say, my people. Say, my people. You are not talking like a believer. Say, my people. Say, my people. Say, my people. Say, my people. Say one more time, my people. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Make a joyful noise. No. This Remnant Christian Network, I suppose. I said, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Even the enemy knows that the battle is overturned in your favor. You may be seated on your miracle seats in the name of Jesus Christ. What a joy to be back home. Hallelujah. My God, I'm seeing so... Yes, yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Seeing so many wonderful faces, old friends, families, and I'm glad to be home. I must confess. Now, you see, my people is a riddle. Somebody says a riddle. You know, when Chief Don came up, he was trying to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, say, if my people that are called by my name. For me, that is an aberration of if my people. Because that is not supposed to be their disposition. That was an aberration of who they were. They went into wickedness and rebellion. They went into some level of manifestation that does not depict who they are, their true identity in the spirit. So God had to call them back to, that was like calling them back to my people. Praise the Lord. If you are my people, you will not be wicked. If you are my people, you will not be proud. So he said, if my people that are called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves. So humility is an embodiment, an accompaniment of the characteristics of my people. You cannot be called by God's name and be a proud man. You cannot be called by God's name and be a wicked man. Please give me Exodus tonight. Exodus chapter number 3. Quickly. So that we can do justice to that word, my people. Oh my God. My people is a riddle. Praise God. And before we read Exodus 3 from verse 7, I'd like to share something with us briefly. Because this is home to me. And I believe that every word that God gives to me, he gives to RCN. And every word God gives to RCN, he gives to us. We have cross-pollinated like that for many years. And we have seen God lift us from one level of glory to another. You are about to be moved from to another level of glory in your life. Amen. You don't like that? Say back to sender.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. About 3 years ago, in fact, around March this year, we'll make it 3 years precisely, that I traveled to Malawi to a conference. Apostle had been there. In fact, it was on Apostle's recommendation that I was invited. And when I got to Malawi, I knew that it was not a picnic I came for. Have you ever gone to a meeting before and you thought that it was going to be an easy ride? And then you counsel. You know, when Jesus went into the wilderness, the Bible says he was led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness, and there he fasted 40 days. If you read it carefully, you discover that it was not the Holy Ghost who advised him to fast. In fact, he had every reason not to fast. You don't believe me? He was led in by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted, not to fast, but to be tempted of the devil 40 days. Is that not so? So it means that he could say to the Holy Spirit, "You are the one who brought me here to be tempted. So if you like, leave me." And then remain like that. But Jesus now understood that the principle to overcome temptation, particularly this kind that has come to me, we need fasting and prayer. Are we getting it? So when I got to Malawi and I entered the church for the first night, I pinched myself and advised myself that this is not a time to picnic. It's not a time for sightseeing. It's a time to go back to my closet and start serious fasting. You know why? When you go to the back of the church, it's longer than this hour, the width of our church here. From one end to the other end, you will see crutches and canes and sticks and all manner of walking aids hanging on the wall as souvenirs. So when I saw that, I knew that it's either we raise cripples in this meeting. So I went back. Particularly the Friday night into Saturday morning. Saturday morning is a healing and deliverance meeting. In fact, they target a crutch and cane collecting service. People, they bring the sick, the crippled, the lame from Zimbabwe. They bring them from Zambia, from all the neighboring countries into Malawi for that particular meeting. So people trek 4 days to come for that conference from their country. They just keep trekking like that until they come to the conference. So when I saw the demand on ground, I didn't need counsel to go back and fast. So I was fasting that night and I was praying and asking God to show me mercy. And I was expecting God to maybe drop something or show me something or, you know. And all of a sudden, a vision opened before me. And God brought me to Nigeria. Now, I'm not sure if you ask me in my own human intelligence and intellect that I needed that vision. Because what I needed that time as for my own need, perceived need, was an anointing or a word of assurance that he will be with me in that meeting. But he showed me a vision. And what I saw in that vision was a notable minister of the gospel in this country. I hope you are listening to me. And I saw Star Lagabia. He was holding on one hand and he was having a cigarette lit on the other hand. And I looked at the minister and he was just enjoying himself in court, not giving a damn. And I said, "Lord, what is this?" And the vision cleared. No word from the Lord. Nothing even for that meeting. I only heard when I was going in the morning that you don't need that prayer you are praying, because that is what I've given to you as a gift. I hope you know what I mean by that. In the area of power, working on miracles, you say, "That one I gave it to you. It's like a scepter." Praise God. So all that worry and the rest was just my humanity, which I'm not denying. I'm a human. I'm not an angel. So I just kept the vision, came back to Nigeria, shared with Apostle, shared with one or two people that I believe I was led to speak to. I can't remember who and who, but I'm not sure I shared that vision with more than four people as at that time. Excuse me. My birthday was 23rd December, and from 18th I began to have strange movings around my life, and the Lord began to speak so many things to me. So by the time we're entering into January, I was compelled to take some days fast, some dry fast out, and I went into that fasting. On the third day of the fast, a vision opened before me. And the Lord brought back that same vision I saw in Malawi. He was holding Star Lager beer. You know, the bottle is green with a cigarette lit. And the Lord said, I have come to give you the interpretation of this vision. He said, the green bottle signifies prosperity. The star, that's the content of the lager, or the lager itself, signifies wrong doctrine. And he said the cigarette symbolizes filthiness. So he said it's wrong doctrine of prosperity that is wrapped up in filthiness, called the gospel of grace, or the grace movement. But we call it the hyper grace. You remember in May, I told us a vision I saw about a prophet. You remember? Okay, let's leave it out. It's not, it has nothing to do with this, but let's leave it out. You see, God is talking about my people. That prophet that I told us, if you go back to the tape and listen to, that was mocking and laughing at me and Apostle when we were doing intercession for the nation. Because he felt we were wasting our time and we don't know how to use the gift of God. Now, the reason why the Lord showed me this vision was because there is going to be a contrast beginning from this year. The contrast has been there, but there is no demarcation. There is no clear-cut dichotomy. That dichotomy is going to come strongly and heavy this year. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Now, one set of people that chooses not to be part of that kind of error are the ones that the Lord will call my people. You see, I'm here to unveil that my people today. And then the Lord began to help me see. In fact, one of the words he spoke to me, he said, my people shall be wealthy and healthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to read my notes on what I wrote down in the fasting. But I've had so much confirmation. There's a call to a strong demand of death to self and crucifying of the flesh. A call to a higher consecration. He even showed me how late coming will be viewed, late coming to church meeting will be viewed very, 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 very strictly by him. I saw a vision to that effect. I can't talk about that now. Praise the Lord. My people. He wants to bring a separation between his people. I'm not talking of unbelievers and believers. I'm talking about in the camp, in the church, amongst the people who say they are God's people. Hallelujah. God will differentiate from everyone who is his people. He said the foundation of God standard what? And God does what? He knoweth them that are his. Every papa know Pekin when he born. Are we here? The day that nameth the name of the Lord, they should depart from iniquity. Somebody will tell you that you are preaching the law. That this one is the law. But the last time I checked, it was in 2 Timothy. Praise God. Give me Exodus. Exodus 3. Let's do my people. Hallelujah. I wanted to read the script of the things God gave me in that, but it may not be for public consumption. Not for everybody. Hallelujah. But God said what? He said, my people, they shall be wealthy and healthy. The drought on the people that genuinely serve God is glaring for all to see. Do you know what I mean by drought? The financial drought. You fast and pray to buy microphone. You fast and pray for money to come to do one thing or the other. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, these guys of hyper grace and into this major error, they have money laid at the apostles' feet to do all manner of nonsense that they want to do. But God is saying to me to tell you that in this season, His people shall be wealthy and healthy. What I came to do this week is to empower you to be healthy and to empower you to be wealthy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what I will do this night is to show you what it means to be, or for God to look at you and call you my people. Once you fit into that, then you are qualified to see the other things that makes you wealthy and makes you healthy. Let me warn quickly. It's not a prophetic message. Do you understand? But these are direct revelations I receive from the Lord in this season. Listen to me. If you came in here sick and you can glue for these 3 days, no matter what that sickness is called, it will leave. If you came in here cursed or afflicted, that affliction will leave you in these 3 days.
Amen.
I hope you are hearing me. And in case you are here battling to pay school fees, battling to pay rent, battling to do one thing or the other, don't miss any of the sessions for any reason. I'm not going to tell you when I'm teaching what and when I'm not teaching any. But the issue is this. All the sessions for this contact is not what you will miss for any reason. May the Lord give you understanding.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Alright, Exodus quickly. Chapter 3 from verse 7. You see, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Is that in your Bible? And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I've dealt with that some many years here. That's talking about the seven mountains. Hallelujah. God is giving you the seven mountains and the seven pillars of society. That's what he's saying by that. Verse what now? Say, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. May the Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when you look at verse 10, God defined his people. He said, my people, who? Israel. What made Israel different from any other nation on the face of the earth was the covenant that they had with Jehovah. It was on the account of the same covenant that God could call Israel his people. Notice that when we talk covenant here, covenant has twofold. Covenant has, it's like a responsibility on God or the persons in the covenant. The responsibility of one party and the responsibility of the other party. Praise God. The covenant. He said, I will come down and deliver. Anytime you hear the word come down, God is talking about a release of his power in an extraordinary way to bring relief to his people. I came to announce to Remnant Christian Network and this region that God has come down to deliver you from affliction.
Amen.
If you are the one I'm talking to, let me hear your amen like a believer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, there are three things I want to pick out quickly before we start this journey. If you go back to verse 7 there, the Bible says, I have surely seen. He didn't just only see, he surely saw. It means that there is no amount of affliction, amount of sorrow that you are going through, no matter the most secret. You know, many of us, we are crying and smiling. We are suffering and smiling. We have problems we cannot share with anybody. We have afflictions we cannot even tell your pastor. There are some pain, there are some sickness, there are some diseases, some level of hardship you are going through right now that you cannot tell anybody. But God said, I have surely seen. That is not a statement of an omniscient God that knows all things. He's talking about a God of care and love. A God that took out time and focused his gaze on a particular individual to see what they were going through. What was the affliction of the Israelites in the land of Egypt? You know, an Egyptian in that day, I don't want to sound political. On the news today, let's leave it. Let's leave it. I've forgotten that we are doing streamlining. We're streaming it online. So I want to say some things. Praise God. You know, at times, our recording limits you. You can't just be what you want to be and who you want to be. Because there are some statements that sounds political. God will help me to learn these ropes. I'm just constraining myself by all means to just be cordial. Now, you see, in Egypt, every Egyptian was seen as superior to an Israelite. Is that correct? And then they had tax masters. These tax masters, on the account of discharging their duty, they are permitted to afflict you even unto death. You don't have human rights as an Israelite when you are in Egypt. It means you cannot appeal to Pharaoh, you cannot report to Pharaoh, neither can you go to any courts of the lords of Egypt to report an Egyptian on the account of maltreating. And in fact, it's a legal thing for an Egyptian to afflict sorrow, pain, and all manner of evil on an Israelite. So the government of the day will come and make statements and support Egypt or an Egyptian for that kind of either. They will give him a medal. Or at least make public statements that they are Israelites, but they deserve it. Do we understand that? The suffering was so much that God began to speak in verse 7. He said, I have heard the cries of my people. I've surely seen their affliction. I've seen how they have been marginalized. I've seen how they have been treated. I've seen the pains they have gone through. Just like somebody is in the hall and or you're hearing me online, you are crying in the depth of your heart and you think that God is not hearing you. I came to tell you that He's hearing you. He said, I have surely seen the what? Afflictions of my people, which are where? In Egypt. And I have done what? So he's saying that I'm not also deaf. Beyond surely seeing, I can also hear. I hear. So don't be deceived tonight. You came in here with a silent cry in your heart. God is hearing. And God is about to bring relief to you.
Amen.
Beginning from tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I have heard. I have surely seen, I have heard the cry of my people. And what is the last one? Their cry by what? Go back to verse 7 there. It's there and you can find it in verse 9. He said, I have done what? I have heard the cry of my people by what? By the reason of the tax masters. In other words, I have seen the oppression. I see the oppressed. And I'm seeing the oppressor. Listen to me. It doesn't matter who is so changing you. God is seeing it. And the reason we have been quiet all this while is because the time for deliverance had not come. Any time God wants to bring deliverance to you, He sends a man your way. I pray that you will see that man in this week. You have been crying for many months, for many years, for many days, for many hours, and it's as if God was not hearing. God is showing you from this scripture that there is a day, there is a season, there is a time I have set to bring deliverance to my people. The code is my people. Are you His people? Then He's surely seeing your affliction. Are you His people? Then He's hearing your cry. Are you His people? He also sees the cries that you cry on the account of the oppression of the tax masters. It doesn't matter whether it is the state government that is oppressing you. It doesn't matter whether it is the one who employed you in labor. It doesn't matter whether it's your lecturer as a student. It doesn't matter whether it's your husband. Whoever is oppressing you, God is saying what? I am she. Praise the Lord. Permit me to say this quickly as I begin to run. That the greatest code that God has to bring Nigeria and any other nation out of recession is my people. You didn't hear that. If you become His people, you no longer live by the economy of that nation where you dwell in. When you become His people, you now discover that what hit other people cannot hit you. He said that when men in the city shall be saying that there is a casting down, He said your own testimony shall be, or from your lips, what you will be saying from your mouth, not by faith, but by reason of what is happening around you, is that what? There is a lifting up for me. It's not for everybody, it's for my people. Praise the Lord. God's joker, God's way of advertising His kingdom, of showing us Zion. He said the time to favor Zion has come. And when He wants to do that, He reveals them as my people. So that when He does it, everybody will know that this is God doing it. The children of Israel were coming out of captivity after they left Egypt, and then they were going to fight the kings of the nation to begin to take their land. You know, God told them, He said, I have given you this land, and they are King Sihon. Deuteronomy chapter 22, chapter 2, verse 24. Praise the Lord. He said, this day I have given you the land. I have given you Sihon the king and the land. And give me that scripture. 22. I want us to look at it. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Let's look at that scripture. I want to make a statement. He said, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, did you see the word there? In other words, you are not seeing before. Now see. I have what? Given unto thine hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Did you see that? So the children of Israel hearkened unto that command, and then they now began to take land. Now when you go to Numbers chapter 22, particularly, you will see that the king, what is the name of that king again? Who sent for Balaam? Balak, King Balak. If you read the statement he made, I think we need to see that statement. He said that, Balaam, please come and curse these people of God for me. Because God has called them my people. What did he describe them to be? He said, any land that they enter into, they lick the land. They take over, they smite the people as an ox. Just what? Lick the grass. Have you ever seen an ox before or a cow? When it's eating grass, you'll be hearing shua, shau, shau, shua, shua. What God is saying is that who you really are, according to his identity that he has placed upon you, is that any land you enter into, you are not hearing me. Some of you are still doubting, your mind is not yet accepting it, because you are still in that old garment that you are wearing. God is calling you my people. He said the way to take land is to call you how? My people. And when you come into any land, have you not seen where he said, I will set the harness ahead of you? Oh my God. Is that in your Bible? Give me Exodus 23. I don't know whether we see what I'm seeing at all. The people that are taking over Makurdi and beyond are hearing me right now. But they are thinking that the people that will take over Makurdi are coming from Niger or from where, I don't know. Or they are coming from America. It is you I'm talking to. You are taking over Benue. Taking over Nigeria. Entering into everywhere. I was teaching in church on Wednesday, and I told them something. I said, you know my dream? They say, no, sir. I said, I'm dreaming where somebody will bring 5 cars to church with car keys, and I'm looking for who to give keys. Somebody say, I'm the one. I'm there. I say, you see yourself? Somebody brought 5 keys or 5 cars, and you are praying to be one of the people that will beneficiary. The person who brought 5 cars has 10 head. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying now. The poverty mentality has so held us bound that let's speak about who to help us. If the person brought 5 keys, why would I bring 10 keys? So I'm praying to God that a day will come that every member of the church will bring car keys for distribution. Then we'll now go to the street and say, who need car? You don't understand what I'm saying? Unbelievers will come to church now because there are car keys to give. Who did this to us? Somebody say me like this. My father never buy tire of machine. It's you I'm talking about. And that mentality will break. You understand what I'm saying? Come to church, say, Daddy, I want to please ask you, I just have one small project I want to dedicate. And by the time we read there, we see 3 estates. It's not landlord thing I'm talking about now. Estate lord, city lord. You build a city. You forgot it? That Cain left the presence of God. Without the presence of God, he built a city. And he gave it a name. He called it what? Nod. I told somebody one day, where was I preaching? I said, God put a mark on Cain. Cain who disobeyed God. Cain who rebelled against God. Cain who killed his brother. God put a mark on him and said, nobody can kill him. And then I am his people. Then one Boko Haram is threatening me. One Hessman is threatening me. No. Well, see, the generation that will correct every error is the generation that is listening to me now. We are going to rise out of here with power. We are going to rise out of here with confidence. Not built on assumption, not built on presumption. Built on the word of God. The rhema word of God to you now. The day to favor Zion has come. When God wanted to deliver Israel, he sent a man to them. The man didn't come there and speak English. He demonstrated power. That day has come. Let's leave English. The day to break the power of poverty and keep it and lay it to rest permanently has come. The day where mighty men will rise in Makurdi and people will begin to ask, are you not hearing what is happening in Benue? I don't live by the economy of Benue. I live by the economy of Zion. And the name of the Bank of Zion is not Central Bank of Nigeria. It's not Zenith Bank of Nigeria. It's not whatever Bank of Nigeria. It is called the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. That bank, there is no amount of money you can withdraw that can make it dry. God can bank in the mouth of a fish. God can bank anywhere. God can command anyone to give to you. God can open any door and put you where you need to be. Listen to me. That day of religion is over. The day of the rising of the true remnant has come. My people. God is not delivering you so that you can sit poor and be religious. He's delivering you so that you can take the wealth of the Gentiles. He's delivering you so that you can walk in power. When they look at your life, they will say, indeed, we want to serve your God. People look at you, they don't want to serve your God. Say, don't they go again? Don't they go again? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may that proverb cease in your life from today. May nobody mock you directly or indirectly. After today, hear me. Nobody is permitted to mock you after today. On the account of your stand for Jesus Christ. Sit down. Listen to me. It's an honorable thing to be called the people of God. It's an honorable thing. I don't have all the time. I would have taken you to scriptures. The Bible says even the unbelievers, they had great respect for them and they fear to join themselves to the believers. Anybody that's going to join himself to them will be ready to do what? To walk through the pathway that has been ordained. Not this day we have mixed multitude. Our greatest battle is not going to be with holiness revival fathers. So it's going to be with this generation of hyper grace people. Get set. Are you listening to me? Because God must have the people that will speak on his behalf. Men that will defend the faith, even with their lives. I heard of a story. The day I heard that story, I'm telling you, for 7 days, I was not myself. I forgot who gave that story. A revival broke out in a particular nation. And then persecution came on the church. And then one of the brothers was going home, and then a mob held him, and then they cut off his head. When they were cutting his head from his head, he was catching the head. And then he was putting it back. So what are you saying again? All of them knelt down. And they gave their life to Jesus Christ. You are still doing shorobo, 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 shomolu, shomolu, shomolo, shomolu, 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 shomolu. Where is that generation that God will call my people? Are they in this hall tonight? Give it to me, Exodus 23. Let's read from verse 25. Because of time, I would have said let's start from 23, but let's go to 25. He said, for my angel, okay, he said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. Is it in your Bible? Who is he? Your God. So you are his people. Is that not so? And he shall bless thy bread. So when you become his people, what will he do? Your bread is blessed. It means your job is blessed. It means that there's no applicant in the camp of the people of God. Not this one, we are walking the whole street, know your shoe now. Because you have walked everywhere with your CV. I pass here. You are not answering me. I pass here. This is Minister of Information. I pass here. Minister of Education. I pass here. You read Agri, you are a cashier in a bank. Help me tell your neighbor, say that day is over. My people. Give me that scripture. He said, and he shall bless what? Thy bread and thy water. And I will take what? That God has changed. He stopped saying this in Old Testament. When they came out of Egypt, that was the only time he said that. He said, I will take sickness away from you now that you are leaving Egypt. But after this time, no more. I will take sickness away from who? From the midst of thee. That is God Almighty talking. The one who created you, who holds the breath in your nostrils. Say he will take sickness from you. He say, this is my cancer. This is my hepatitis. Yes. And there shall nothing do what? Cast their young. Nor be barren. You know what it means to cast their young? Miscarriage. Say, there shall nothing cause miscarriage. In fact, when we go further, either here or another place, he say, your livestock will not miscarry. It means your agwagwa. You know agwagwa? Will not miscarriage. Your moose, your pussycat, will not miscarry. Your bingo, your dog, will not miscarry. Your goat will not miscarry. Your cow will not miscarry. Say, daddy, 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 I saw blood. And what is that? Say it's miscarriage. Just think about it. If God is so mindful of you to the point where he said the livestock in your house should not miscarry, then how much more you? Anyone that has been suffering miscarriage before today, as you hear the sound of my voice today, that is the last miscarriage you will have. If you are the one that's speaking to receive in the name of Jesus, the last miscarriage you ever had is the one that you had before today. Any other plan of miscarriage is arrested. That amen is not for believers. Can you sound an amen like the people that God called my people? In the name of Jesus Christ. my people. Say, they shall not cast forth their young, and what? Not be barren.
Say, Daddy, you don't understand. My in-laws are insulting me.
Let that tears turn to blood. It won't change nothing until you believe that word. I know you didn't hear me. One day I was preaching in the model parish. It was then under the provincial pastor of local Kogi State. So they arranged a meeting and then they brought me. I didn't know that. Okay, thank God. At least the living witness is in the house. Sister Abigail, one of her mates in Meduguri, that they were students together. I didn't know this arrangement. She just called her and said, that my brother has been telling her. But I didn't know she was telling her, but that she has a brother who is a pastor. Is it not good to have a brother who is a pastor? So he said, that my brother that I have been telling you about. I didn't know she has been telling her about me. So he said to her that I was going to come to Lokoja and she should do everything within her power to make sure that she attends the meeting. And the meeting was for 3 days. I've done day one, day two, and day three. I didn't mention her case. She saw all manner of miracles and all manner of things that God did. And I was walking out of the hall. And then she said, the violent. She was just, I didn't know, me. I was just coming after a good time from church. I've seen the power of God move. You know, there's a way where you move in a meeting, you will feel satisfied because heaven is saying, well done, thumbs up. And I was just walking away. And then the lady was just timing me with protocol here. I didn't know how she broke. She just jacked me and said, you will kill me or change my story. The protocol wanted to die. I said, no. If she can pass you people and jack me, drawing her away is not the solution. The solution is meeting her need. Young lady, what is your issue? He said, see this picture? He said, this is my husband. He said, see the other picture? He said, this is the lady that they are planning to bring into my home because I cannot have a child. I'm losing my home. Is that all? He said, all that prompted this jacking is just... It's okay. When do you want the child? He said, now. I said, receive it. And she somersaulted. Not tumble, she somersaulted. And I walk away. That boy is 7 years old now. At least, Pastor Enoch, if he's here, will bear witness to this one I want to say. I'm just trying to share with you that if you are barren, or they call you barren, they even say your womb is no longer there again. It depends on who you want to believe. You know, many of us, we believe doctor more than the pastor. Meanwhile, the Bible says, believe the Lord your God, and you will be established. And then believe the doctor, then you will prosper. Okay. Believe the landlord, then you will prosper. Believe the economies of the nation, you will prosper. He said, believe who? My prophet, and that... But we believe every other thing apart from our pastor. Say, pastor, I hear you, but... Had a member, you know the person I'm talking about. I don't want to mention her name. Where we used to go and do retreat those days for CSM in the barrack. Her elder brother, she is married to an officer, and she was our member. The elder brother of the lady lives in Lagos, and his marriage was coming to an end. He wants to start a new life with another lady. And then that, during the long vacation, she went to Lagos. And while in Lagos, a meeting brought me and my wife to Lagos. And then she heard we're in Lagos, she called, and then she came and picked us, and then we came to visit her family members. And when we finished, she said, please, Daddy, can we just visit my brother's house? It's not too far from our family house. And I said, why not? She didn't tell me what was going on, but the moment I entered the house, and I saw the lady busted into tears. She said, man of God, help me. I said, what is the issue? She said, no child, and I'm losing my home. And I said, is that all? I said, what do you want? Two boys, two girls, because I've seen twins. Which one? The anointing now is not for one, it's two. Praise the Lord. He said, I need two girls. Let me start with that. Two girls, what do you want? He said, collect. The next year I came to Lagos, I was lodging in around Ojodubega, around Ogba.
and she stays in Surulere Body Thomas. She traveled all that way with the two children, with gifts, with just for me to lay my hand on those two children and to speak over their lives. I've gone to meetings where barrenness breaks. But what breaks barrenness is not because I'm anointed. I agree that an anointing can do that. But the simplest thing that can break barrenness, if you see that God says you are his people and you cannot be barren. Okay, let me share my own personal one. When I married my wife, amidst all oppositions, I've told you most of the stories here before, so I don't like talking about it. But after we finished marrying, my wife had a vision. And in the vision, they told her, you know this native pot with three legs? The small one. While she was lying down, a woman came and used it to cover her stomach. See, you have escaped us. And you have managed to marry. Deliver, let us see you. And she woke up in the night. See, my dear. I woke up. What is the matter? He said, I just had a dream now. I said, okay, what is the dream? He said, they just carried that pot and they covered my stomach and they said, I cannot have a child. He said, because I managed to escape them, this time I will not escape. I said, you managed to. They couldn't stop you from marrying. They couldn't stop you from marrying. He said, yes. And you believe they can stop you from getting pregnant. So I took the Bible and I opened to that scripture. You see, there shall nothing cast forth their young, and none shall be barren. I say, did the scripture say minus Julia? He said, none shall be barren among God's people except you. He said, no. I say, if I stand up to pray for you now to cancel this dream, it's unbelief. You don't understand? Number one is unbelief. Number two is a waste of time. Satan, if you are Satan enough, stop her from getting pregnant. Before I married, God told me, you are Jacob turned Israel, and the name of your wife is Rachel. Your first son shall be called Joseph, and the second one shall be called Benjamin, and they shall have 3 years gap between them. So I began to tell me about their destiny. When God spoke to me about what will happen to me, then one dream gave me prayer point. Before I married, though, it settled. Then one dream. Anyone that is saying, my wife will not. Hey, yeah. If I use that one to pray for Afghanistan for their salvation, God will bless me more. Use it to pray for other things, God will bless me more. There are some things that are not prayer points. Let's finish it quickly. Because I want to touch some things before we close. Are you being blessed tonight? He said, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. God has become a liar. I showed you the pictures yesterday of what happened to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I showed you too. If you are a driver here, you will agree with me that even Honda, that we know that the car that has leg problem, the most is Honda. Is that not so? I'm not trying to discourage you from Honda. I'm only just saying that that is what we know by experience. But before the shaft, tie rod, or bolt joint will pull out, is when you slow down. I want to do a corner. It will just look okay. I've driven Honda, I've driven Toyota. I've never had that issue before. I was on speed between 120 and 140 on Kaduna Expressway, heading to Zaria. About 30 kilometers to Kaduna. I got hit. I thought it was tire that punctured. And the thing skidded me for over 200 meters. And then the car parked itself by the side of the road. And then I came down. When I looked at the tire, I was pinching myself whether it was real or I was in a dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? The shaft pulled out on 140. The tire bent like this. And then it skidded for 200 meters. There's no way you will survive. The car will be written off. You will be, in fact, they will be looking for your dead body. I came out without scratch. The car is what I drove to Makodiyo. That same car. They didn't sew another seat of car. That same car is what I drove to Makodi. Now, what am I trying to help you see? See, when you say my people, you say, I will fulfill. Accident is too small to take my life. No terrorist is permitted to take my life. But the day I finish my assignment, how I go is not important. Do you understand the point? How I go is what? But not to go before my time. Sweet Migu was somewhere, they came and called that his wife has gone. He said, gone where? Gone where? He said, she has gone to be with the Lord. He said, that is your own, not my own. Came and said, I'm the head of this home. And you can't go anywhere without my permission. It's against the law of God and the law of nature. Polly, come back. And she rose up with tears in her eyes. She said, please allow me go. She said, that's what you would have done. She said, my assignment in your life is over. And the Lord will have me come home. I said, okay. You can go. May you come to that realm of dominion. You will not be at the mercy of anybody. You will not be at the mercy of any situation. You will not be at the mercy of any circumstance. Say it's accident. People will come out and say, Muslims park their car. They came down. They say, Kei mutumi alane. Kei mutumi aduane. Muslims. I was just on the road there, on the expressway. Rabo Shekala Bandoria. Lord, I give you praise. You are a faithful God. You will always keep to your word. You cannot lie. Malekatone Rabashindori Abasita Lamore Sete on the express. People who came back later, they said that spot is a dangerous spot where kidnapping has been done in Kaduna. I say, kidnap who? Who? There was a day I ran into them in Kogi State. You remember the story? When I was reversing back, and then my car fell into the ditch, and they came and met me. They said they are going to kidnap me. My mother was crying, and I said, Mama, calm down. When their leader came out of anger for my revising and spoiling their business for that day, he cocked his rifle. He fired. Pua! He didn't fire. Fired the second time. He didn't answer. He just moved like that. He climbed up. Then he began to call them as they call cow. Say, okay, bring your wallet. What do you have inside? I brought my wallet out. I said, I have 2,000 naira. He said, you are driving 406 with 2,000 naira. I said, I'm coming from a burial. And if you know, when you go to burial, you spend money. I was talking to them. Every other person that they were robbed were lying down and like that. When before they opened my bag, they saw Jalabia from Mecca. They didn't touch it. They saw my iPad. They didn't touch it. They saw my phone. They didn't touch it. It was only one iPhone that was given to me that they carried. And the 2,000 naira in my hand. And then they ran into the bush. And then I came out. When I went to the city, okay, okay, please. I said, no, no, no. They have gone. Get up. You don't understand what I'm saying. You will come to the place of dominion. You will come to that place where Amrobas will see you. And they, with all their regard, with everything, they will not be able to do anything to you. If God permit them to meet you, they will not be able to hurt you. They will give testimony on your account. Praise God. Let's finish that scripture. Let me go to where I want to go to. Hallelujah. He said, I will do what? This is what I'm looking for. See, he said, I will send my fear before thee. And I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Does that belong to you? You from today, your enemy will not see your back. You will see the back of your enemy. He said, the wicked man fled when no one pursued him, but the righteous man is as bold as a lion. How come your boldness disappeared? It is restored today in the name of Jesus. You are going to live here with power. You are going to live here with boldness. That's the word of the Lord. Do you believe God?
I will put my fear. That's the word of the Lord. He said, I will do what? Send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. That is where the people you are going to fight. He said, I am the one who will destroy them, not you. But you must take the initiative to go there. Praise the Lord. He said, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. You go to an office, somebody is oppressing you. Can't you see that you are not seeing clearly? Praise the Lord. Somebody is oppressing you where? In the office. You are not seeing where? Praise God. If you just stay long enough there, the person is the one that will leave. It may be your boss in the office, it may be your lecturer, but if you are sent there by God, he will send his fear. Give me the next verse. 29. Is it 29? 28, okay. He said, I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. Is this similar to what we read before? In Exodus? So that place is just told us that he's sending Moses to deliver and then give them the land. But he is showing us the strategy on how he will do it. Let's read two more scriptures. Leviticus 26. 1 to 12. I want to show you some things. So you understand when God says, my people. He's referring to people that has covenant with him. People that are ready to walk with him on his terms. People who are ready to consecrate unto his cause. And to do his bidding. When he finds you as such, my God, there's nothing God cannot do for you. Have you not seen where God said, I will give Egypt as what? It means that when you are meant to die, God can cause somebody else to die for your sake. And it's not your righteousness. Because of the secret code of my people. Are you seeing it? Now, look at it. Jacob came to the house of Laban. What did he come to the house of Laban with? One staff. How did he live? Whose wealth did he collect? Don't you think that God would have been unrighteous? Why was Jacob doing that? Jacob was... Laban had nothing with God. So God was under obligation to do what? To transfer the wealth of Laban. Unbelievers are oppressing you. You don't yet know who you are. You may know who you are in this conference. And God will give you strategies on how to undo the enemy. You will catch them in their own craftiness. Have you not read before? He said, I will overturn and overturn and overturn. Why is he overturning? He's doing it because he has not yet reached your turn. And until he reaches the turn of his people, he will not stop overturning. Somebody's not hearing me. I said, God will not stop overturning until it becomes your turn. Why? My people. I'm not exciting you, I'm showing you scriptures. Yes, sir. Leviticus. Praise God. Ye shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up my image. Sorry, any image, let me read from here, sorry. Any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. Are you seeing it? For I am the Lord your God. Is he your God? You are not hearing me. Is he your God? If he's your God, then you are who? And he said, how to do that is that you will take every idol out of your way so that I can be your God. Any idol in your life is a god unto you. So you cannot be his people. Are we together here? Praise the Lord. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Follow carefully. Oh my God. If you walk, you see that it's basically covenant. You must do your part. If you do what? If you walk in my status and keep my commandments and do them, yes, then I will give you rain in due season. Somebody is not hearing that. I hope you know that this, for us, is not the physical rain. If you go to the book of Joel, which is the test scripture for us for this year, Joel chapter 2 from verse 25, he said, in the first year, I will give you the rain moderately. I will give you the latter rain and the former rain in the first year. Let's leave that. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall do what? Yield her increase. My body is not yet yielding to you. It must yield. It has no option. The wealth of Benue will yield to you. You are not hearing me. The wealth of Nigeria must yield to you. Because you don't have an idol in your life, they must come in agreement with you according to the word of the Lord. He said, the land shall yield and increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. He said, I don't know what will happen in Nigeria. You put money here, do not come and You're not even talking like the Father God that you claim that is your God. Have you heard God talk like that before? Say, this darkness now that is on the ground, what do I do now? Jesus, come, please. Holy Ghost, come. What do we do here? Say, this darkness that I just cover everywhere. See, all the thing we created nicely yesterday. Don't look at it now. It's darkness everywhere. What do we do now? God is not confused. You can't be confused. You didn't hear me. I said, God is not confused. You can never be confused. At each point in time when you reach the crossroad, you will know what to do. Yes, sir. Give it to me. He said, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. So who is that one that said the thing and it come to pass? When the Lord has not commanded it. When there is no safety in your land, these are the kind of scriptures you use and give back to God. And see how God will ambush them one by one. Yes, give me the next verse. Let me show you something now. He said, and I will give you peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Fear is leaving somebody today. Every form of fear. We are not lying, we are not denying that we are under a siege. Are you listening to me now? But I choose the peace of God than to look at the siege of the enemy. You know, two people came back from 12 spies. They went into the same land, saw the same thing. Saw the same giants in the land, but they couldn't talk about the giant. They saw what God told them. Say, we are well able to go and take up the land from the land of Jordan. Do you understand? All of them had the same word. All of them had the same promises. All of them saw the same thing, but two people have a different testimony. The other says, yeah, we're not able. God says, as I've heard you say it with your mouth, so I will be born to you. Do we understand what I'm saying? So let the land be under siege. Let them enter anywhere and make their enchantment and incantation. Let them plan. Peace of the Lord is with you in the land. You shall no longer be afraid. That's what the Lord says. Say, none shall make you afraid. Does that include Boko Haram? Does that include Fulani terrorists? Does that include every form of terrorists in Nigeria? Armed robber? Kidnappers? Are they involved here? Thugs, political thugs, are they there? Every form of violence, is he involved here? He said none. None means none. None in crèche is none. None in nursery is none. None where? In primary is none. None in secondary school is none. Go to university, none means. When you go to second degree, none means what? Please, doctor, none is what? A PhD class? None. Say none. Come on, say none. He said, none shall make you. Did he say none but? He said, why do you like traveling the way you travel? Yes, I was strolling down to my body. Hallelujah. About 9:10, I was still cruising, just strolling down. He said, what if you meet armed robbers on the road? I said, none. He said, what if they decide to kidnap you? None. Is somebody receiving confidence from the law? That is the word of God. We will believe it. He said, and I will do what? rid evil beasts out of the land. Who will read it? Neither shall the sword go through your land. That is God's word for you. That's why God. That's why John was saying, my people who are called by my name. No, let's walk in the reality of who we are so that we don't need to go back and begin to repent. And of course, there's need for repentance when there's error. I'm not denying that aspect. I'm only just showing that that is an aberration. There is a norm. Finish it quickly to verse 12. He said, and ye shall chase your enemies. No, I'm not sure you saw that. You saw that? And you shall do what? And they shall fall before you by the sword. Yes. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to fly. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Continue. For I will have respect unto you. Is that in your Bible? And make you what? And multiply you. And establish my covenant with you. Yes. And ye shall eat old store. You don't understand that. You don't, I'm not sure you understand this one. And bring forth the old because of the new. It means that money will not finish in your wallet. New money must meet old money. That's what he's saying now. It means your account can never go red. Am I talking to somebody here? Your kitchen, your food in your kitchen can never go dry. Say, it's remaining 1 year, nothing like that. Are we seeing it? He said, the old store. But that's the word of the Lord. Do you believe it? He said, the old store shall meet what? The new. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You will not meet red anymore. By reason of the anointing on this meeting today, I speak into your life. Every old store that is blessing you will meet the new. Yeah. It is finished will no longer be your language. Yeah. Say, what of rice? He says it's finished. It's no longer be your language. As one bag of rice is reaching half, another bag is coming. Let them sell one bag for 15 naira per bag. It's not the issue. I don't know that you're following me. It's not the issue. Say, fool. Say, I was driving the theater red. Nothing like that. Sit down. Do you understand what I'm teaching you? I'm laying foundation for the remaining days because it's going to be a pure teaching session. We must believe. Do you believe the word of God? Yes, sir. Let's finish it. He said, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will, what? Continue, give me verse 12, let's finish it. I will walk among you, and will be, and you will be,
my people.
Did you see the characteristics of when God said, my people? Are you seeing it? That God is so mindful of your car that your car cannot enter red. Old fuel will meet new fuel. Say, you don't know, brother, man of God, I believe what you are saying, but this is Makodi. Didn't you see Makodi in the scripture? They say minus Makodi. You didn't see it there? When you walk in the covenant, location is not the issue. What can God does not have respect for location. If it can happen in America, it can happen where? If it can happen in Nigeria, it can happen where? In Makurdi, in Benue State. Go to the most remotest land, it will work. Praise God. Are you being blessed? Let me start dropping my this so that I don't do much scriptures. But there are two things you must see. Two things you must see before we close. If not, if I don't do this one, then I didn't talk to you today. Did you catch it? Give me Genesis 17. Give me verse 14 because of time. I wish I could do
a teaching on this, but I cannot. I just want to show you something. Is that okay? He said, and they what? And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised. What shall happen to him? That soul shall be cut off from his people. It means you will not be my people. He will not be numbered among. Oh my God. Did you see that? He had broken my covenant. And when we take it to the New Testament, I will not read the scriptures because if I attempt it, I will need like another 45 minutes, which I'm not planning to. Do you get it? But I can give you scriptures to go and check. Like Romans chapter 3, read for 27 to 29. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. When you look at those scriptures, you see what God calls us. He said we are the Jews of the New Testament. And the circumcision in this context is not by the cutting of the outer flesh of your foreskin, but is a circumcision of the heart, which is not done by the hand of any man, but by the hand of God himself. Are you seeing it now? Now, it's a call to dying or crucifying the flesh. I close with this scripture tonight. You see, another thing I'll be saying after this night is going to be predicated upon the scripture I want to show you now. Are you getting it? So when you say, my people, you see, in this last day, somebody say last day.
Last day.
Remnant Christian Network is a call to raise remnants, right? Striving for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity. I have a mandate on my life to raise an end-time army for the Lord. It's the same thing. Did you get it? It's just a matter of semantics. The same thing. The characteristics of these people that God will call my people is in the book of Revelation. Let me show you. Give me Revelation 17. Give me verse 12 to 14. Any other thing that we will do from tomorrow, are you listening to me? I came to lay foundation today. We'll pray for the sick today, no problem. Hallelujah. But we will enter into dimensions from tomorrow. Then you will look at yourself and ask yourself, what have I been doing? I was sharing with you in the house. Most of the testimonies that excite me this day in church is not that somebody came with, like last Sunday, I was showing you the pictures. They brought a small girl of about 9 years old. She was possessed. And then she was deaf. When I call her, look at me, she can't look at my face. 9 years old girl. By the time we laid hands on her and commanded the spirit, it left immediately. She started hearing. You understand what I'm saying? When we casted out the devil, deafness went. But those things don't excite me anymore. I'm more excited when I teach you like this. And then you live here, and then you come back with multiple testimonies. You get it? I went to the office today. I met my colleague that was sick, and I told her to stand up, and you know, and then this happened. After this, I'll show you a text. A pastor just sent me a text from Zaria. The wife was sick. I mean, a pastor. Pastor in a very big church in Zaria. The wife was sick, and they kept giving her antibiotics until the antibiotics blocked her ears. I said, how did you get to that point? As if we no longer believe the Bible. Are we here? I mean, is that a good testimony of my people? The ears blocked. And I came into Zaria about that week. I came into Zaria. That you people were there. And I entered Zaria. And the Lord said, call him. And I called the man. He said, thank God you called me. December last year, the devil nearly killed me. I said, I just recovered towards the end of the year. And this year again, the devil has started with my wife. I was just looking at the man like this. The devil nearly killed you. And this year is your wife. I said, okay, I'm coming. He said, if you don't come and pray for her and my wife die, I will never forgive you. As if I'm the one who afflicted her. So I got to the house. And the wife was lying down. Socks on the leg, clothes everywhere. And I said, madam, I didn't come here to tell you sorry. It's not in my dictionary. I came here to discharge you. Came here to drive sickness out of your life. Not to come and tell you sorry. Then we prayed with her. But when I finished praying with the woman, and I was telling the woman to repeat what I was saying, I would go to her back and say, the man said, when you talk small, she will hear. He said, when you talk loud, she will hear. So then when you talk small, I said, Oga, you were here with her since December to January till now. So allow me to minister to her. And I went back and I spoke, and the woman was hearing clearly. I finished praying with her. You know what the woman did? She was going back to the three-seater to go and lie down and cover herself with a blanket. I said, excuse me, ma. Did I pray for you? She said, yes, sir. Do you believe you are healed? She said, yes, sir. Where are you going back to? He said, to go and lie down. Why? Then it dawned on her that the reason why she was lying down all this while was because she was sick. So if you are now healed, do you behave like the sick?
No.
When you are healed, you will act healed. So the husband now said, okay, get up and go to the kitchen. So she removed her socks. Removed her clothes. And then she went to the kitchen and started cooking. That is when she now understood that she was healed. If she had gone back to that bed, see, that man no good, they anointed. Do we understand? I'm trying to explain here. The healing had come, but she refused to take delivery of it. And that's how many of us miss many things from God. What you say you believe and you cannot act upon is unbelief. What you are afraid to act upon, what you are afraid to declare, is what you have not believed. I know you didn't hear that. Anything that tells you that, what if I try to stand up and I fall down, is unbelief. If you believe you are healed, you will jump up. Jump up and fall down, you stand up again. Why? You believe you are healed. Do we? Revelation chapter 17. Let me close with this. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed tonight? All right? 17 verse 12, yes. He said, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Right? 13. These have how many mind? And they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Verse 14 is where the meat of the scripture is. Because the battle is between the beast and the Lord. Are we here? Now, he said, this shall make war with the Lamb. Is the fight between the Lamb and the beast. Right? And the beast is not fighting physically. He's fighting with the people that have one mind, who are ready to give him their power and their strength. Are you seeing it? He said, and they made war, or this shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall do what? He's not going to overcome them because he's the Lamb. Are you seeing it? He's not overcoming them because he's the Lord. There is a reason for why it was determined that he shall overcome them. I wish somebody is hearing this tonight. He said, and what? The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord. Did you see that? The Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called. Did you catch that? So you cannot become my people until these characteristics, three basic characteristics, are found in your life. Many are called. Did you see that the number reduced? Did you carry it? So many are called, many become believers. To them that he predestinated, he foreknew. For them that he foreknew, he justified. Them that he justified, he called. And then that he called, he will glorify. Did you see that? So the calling is in the now, yes. But not everybody that is called that will be chosen. For many are called, but a few are chosen. But among the few that are chosen, will come them that are faithful. Somebody's not hearing me. That is where the remnant factor comes in. That's when the end time army comes in. I don't know that you understand what I'm saying. You cannot do what every other person is doing and be among the people the Lord can use to overcome. I wish somebody heard me tonight. You cannot be the nominal Christian running a rat race and expecting to be part of that army when God can find you called, chosen, and faithful. You are His people. You see, in the army, one of the strongest things. Okay, let me give you a literal example in Nigeria. When Buhari became president, he felt that the DSS was compromised. Right? Did he use any DSS as bodyguard? Did he use any DSS as security? Who did he use? He used soldiers. Praise the Lord. He brought in his people and then he asked them to pick their own loyalty. In other words, when let's say an officer is brought in as ADC, the ADC will recruit his own boys that are loyal to him. Oh my God. Do we understand that? When you bring another one as CSO, the CSO will do what? Recruit the people that are loyal to him. Everybody cannot work in the villa, but are all of them soldiers? Oh my God. Are they all soldiers? They are all soldiers now. But is it every soldier that is working in the villa? Which ones are working in the villa? Those ones that have been proven and tested and found faithful. Are you seeing it? So until God can find you faithful, you cannot fight alongside. It's not every soldier that goes to battle. Are you aware of that? There are some soldiers that are left behind to do the cooking. They are doing some other chores and some other things. They don't go to battle. Before you go to battle, you take the soldiers for a training. And then anyone that passes that training and they are good to go, and then you now discover that their morale is also high, and the ones you take to battle, that they don't turn back and then leave you alone in the battlefront. You carry tested hands to battle. Do we understand? The question tonight is that can God trust you and call you faithful? Hallelujah. I was teaching in church on Sunday and I told them something strong. I said, any man that is poor can be faithful. You don't believe that? The true test of faithfulness and loyalty is put money in the man's hand. The true character of the man is seen when you put money in his hand. There are some sisters here today, when they see mommy, they say, mommy, good morning. No, you say, ah, this one will make a good wife. Don't worry. I didn't say every sister. Let just courtship, oh. Courtship. You can't go to their house and drink water. Say, why did you give me water to drink? Water. See, why are they always coming here? People he knew before he met you are in courtship. See, why are they always coming? You are not yet in the house here, you want to take charge. And some of them are chameleons. You know, they just, bam. Hey! Don't worry. Let that man, after 3 years, we'll evaluate you. Then we'll know whether that thing you were doing before was a real you. Or you were padding it. And everything is padding. See one brother in church, you say, hey! May God deliver us from padding. May He find faithful men and women in you. You know why you can't do the wilderness for any reason? It's the training process that God wants to break anything that is not supposed to be in your life in the day of your breakthrough. But many people dodge it. And then the thing that God was supposed to remove now, he didn't allow him to remove it. So in the day of your manifestation, you now become like a reproach and a ridicule to the kingdom. Somebody say, God forbid bad thing. It will not be my portion. Lord, I will submit to that process. You know, in Romans 8:28, the Bible says, now we know. It means you didn't know. God loved the whole world, but it's not the whole world that loved God. You don't know that? You don't understand what I'm saying? It's only faithful men that can love God. Not love with singing, you know. Not love by lifting hand and shedding tears. I'm talking about love with commitment. Where you are cornered, nobody is there. You are not ready to commit that act. Not for fear of hellfire, but because you love God. That's a faithful man. That's a faithful woman. The examination paper is put on your table. You don't know the answer. And then you now know that the man writing who said the exam is an FCS patron. You know what he says? Sir, remember, I am a committed member of the fellowship. Even though I don't know the answer, consider. The other options come again. You see all your mates doing wala, you know, malpractice and the rest. And you say, no. Even though they will not catch me, I'd rather fail and spill over than graduate with a false makeover. That's the kind of people God is looking for in this season. You are in a courtship. You know, thank God for this ministry and our ministry, we don't supervise courtship. Well, you know what I mean by we don't supervise courtship. In the days we married, you come and sit down, and then she will sit down under the supervising elder. Elder pastor's house or an elder or a senior member of the ministry must be sitting down there. Then when you sit down, you know that you can't talk now. So you say, how are you? Then you say, fine. Did you go to work today? Out of course, she will not ask you that, where do you think I'm coming from? He said, yes. That scripture I gave you yesterday, did you read it? I hope you are not forgetting that our fasting is tomorrow. Every talk is revolving around, you know, it's fake. Fake! The same people that acted this drama now and film now, leave two of them behind closed doors, they'll start kissing each other. I don't know what I'm talking to the right people here. Can you not be supervised by anybody and yet you can keep a pure relationship until the time you come to the altar? See, the marriage bed will be kept undefiled. Can God trust you? I'll talk more on that tomorrow. Can God do what? I hope you know I've told us several here, a man God cannot trust, he cannot entrust. The reason why you are where you are right now is the level of trust God has for you. And for every time God wants to entrust you, he will test you. God can never give to you beyond how much you qualify for. I'm not talking about grace now to receive unmerited favor. I'm talking about promotion and ranking. Grace does not work there. It's faithfulness. A man that is found faithful in little, it's not grace. Don't mix the two. You understand what I'm saying here? When it comes to the issue of stature, God does not use grace. He does not use mercy. He uses a righteous scale, the standard. And that's why he said there, they that shall do what? That shall fight alongside the Lord. He said he shall overcome them because he is what? The Lord of lords and the kings of kings. And they that are with him are what? The called and the chosen and faithful. Can you cry to God tonight? Lord, I know I've not been faithful. But you see, I've come to understand that your joker is the revelation of my people. That is the antidote to recession. That's the antidote to threat. That's the antidote to sickness. That's the antidote to anything. When God can look at you and say, my people. If God can find such a one, then he has the people in himself. Can you rise to your feet tonight
and then begin to cry to God. Lord, let me number among the people. You know, the Bible says the foundation of what? Of God's standard. He won't bend it. That is his foundation. His standard, sure. Nobody can shift the goalpost mark. Nobody can shift the lines. Ah, you are not praying. Maybe you didn't hear anything tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not praying tonight like somebody who had anything. Can you open your mouth and pray with a strong burden? Lord, let me number among the faithful. Let me not be a nominal Christian. Let me not be that man. Can we pray tonight? Can we pray tonight? Can we pray tonight? It's not just about gaining tools. It's about a set of people that God is banking on to win the last day battle. A people that God is trusting that with them the battle of the last day will be won. Lord, let me number among these people. Let me number, let me number, let me number. Limbo, Shikari, Katina, Mazuleba, Katina. Lekatabara, Bababash, Lambradose, Kadabrandori, Abada. Don't stand and look, don't be nominal tonight. Oh my God, Mashaka Tabarada, Rabandori Abakanda Dabada Dabadas, Limbradoshe Kariabandori Abada, Limbaria Kandari Abadosa, Limbradoshe Kariabandori Abadosa, Ebrekedebes. Shekanda, Mekaton de Labradisha, Libragoneria Basata Balabados, Imbradoshe Calabandoria Badosa, Labracatana Ribadosa, Limbradosha Calebradosa, Labakera Bada, Rabandoria Baba, Jandaria Badosa. Limbo Shekandoria Badosa, Lekenderia Badosa, Labandoria Bababa. Lord tonight, Lord tonight. Ekaronda, Lebrandori, Vashanda, Labadabadas. Lord, I don't want to be casual. Imborose Kanamakoria Badasa, Lembradoshe Kariabandoria Badosa, Lembradoshe Kariabandoria Badosa. Lembra doshe kariya bandori abadosa. Lembra kara bara 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 bara. Maybe you don't understand the import of what God is saying tonight. This is a hallmark for some people into the calling of God for their life. You see, this faithfulness I'm talking about is what will make God give you a job where you have been carrying CV and rocking around looking for a job. Are we here? Understand what I'm saying now? Because God wants to have a person in you in that establishment. And it's God that is giving you the job, not your bride, not your connection, not the senator uncle, but God. He must first find you faithful. At least you heard the testimony of Apostle Zebra when he gives it. God did not give him that job until he found him faithful. Hallelujah. At least I can make boast to tell you today that I joined the army. I didn't give anybody one naira. I didn't know God then, but I told myself that I'm going to enter the army. I'm able-bodied. Don't look at me now. My eye is not 6:45. Do you understand? There is no skin disease anywhere. Nothing. So why would I give bribe? Before the recruitment, 3 months before the recruitment, I started jogging. I went to meet with physical training people in the army, and then I was jogging with them. And they were training me, showing me how to do the race. That is not sprint. So when they saw your mask, they said, go, and people start. You saw people running. I said, don't join them. Just go at the pace we are teaching you now. And there's a time frame you must reach, and then there's the number that they cut you off. I entered the box before they cut off. I was number 9. If you see people that came for recruitment, some of them, they are ties 3 times from one of my own. You see them heavy, you will say, ah, this one's already taken. But I prepared for it, so I couldn't give bribe. You want to bribe a lecturer because you didn't prepare for the exams. You didn't prepare for anything. Meanwhile, God wants you in the army. He wants you in government. He wants you in the Senate. He wants you somewhere. He wants some of you to go as missionaries. But you see, the common denominator for all of us is that thing called faithfulness. My brother here will always say that my loyalty is not in doubt. Once your loyalty is in doubt, you are not faithful. Once your loyalty is 99.9%, you are not faithful. God can find you faithful at all times. That's a man that God can always trust. That's a man God can empower. That's a man God can put something on his head. That's a man that when God gives you millions tomorrow or billions tomorrow, he will not regret what he gave you. One day, Apostle A.T.B. Williams, he went in China when he was saying that thing, he said that God showed him a vision. I'm going to be emphasizing part of this tomorrow. Listen to this carefully. He said God took him to the Babich in Lagos. You know Babich? Now, what is the characteristic of Babich? Sand. Right? He said God took him to Babich and God took sand like this. And he called him. He said, come. What is on my finger? He said, sand. He said, the whole money put together that I've given to the church, what you call prosperity today, is like this in comparison to what I have in store for the church. Now, what I have in store for the church is like this sand on the Babich. But what I've given to the church so far is this, and they have abused it. You know why? No faithful men. I don't know. He said, my people. And for you to qualify to be mentioned as his people in this day, is that you will go beyond being called, you will go beyond being chosen, you must be faithful. You must be found faithful in all your dealings. Can you cry in 1 more minute? Some of you need to repent tonight. And say, Lord, I want to number among the people you are marking for this next phase. I want to be among the people. Because he said, my people, they shall be wealthy and healthy. There is a reason for it. God will become unfaithful by himself if his faithful people cannot be wealthy. He will become unfaithful when you are not healthy. Lambara Shatana Mazalabadosa. You can't be sleeping with somebody's husband and then you are expecting God to give you a new husband. You are deceiving yourself. You can marry, yes, but if you want God to give you husband, you must first become faithful. Lambo Shandaria Bakanda Nabadosa. Lembarose Kandaria Badosa. Leba Kandoria Badosa Labada Badada. To God tonight. Open your mouth and pray. Rabo Shalamandoria Babos. Faithfulness, 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 faithfulness. If you are sitting anywhere, stand to your feet. See what the Lord is doing right now. Stand to your feet, outside, inside. Can you hear me? Those of you outside, can you hear me? Are they hearing me? Alright, listen to me. God wants to do something now. While we were singing, I saw a vision. And I saw that God was removing filthy rags. Removing filthy rags. And then he was putting new rag, new clothing, very clean, bright clothing on people tonight. And then I was saying, Lord, what is it? And the Lord told me that I want to choose my people. I'm confirming my people tonight. Listen to me. Your act of sincerity will help you tonight. He said, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, I, the Lord, will not despise. I will reject such a one. Can you just close your eyes and lift up your two hands to heaven? It's not time to pray any prayer now. That's why you prayed all the prayer. And you say, Lord, change my garment. If it's not happening to you, you will know. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy Ghost, move. Change my garment. Don't pray now. You just that simple word, and then let your heart be open. If it's happening, you will know. If it's happening, you will know. Lord, from the outside to the inside, from the front to the back, Holy Ghost, change the garment of your people. Put your mark upon us. If you can mark Cain, who rebelled against you, how much more them that have covenant with you? Put your mark on your people tonight. Let every filthy garment in this hall, Lord, be removed from your people as they receive it now at the count of three. Jesus, 1, 2, 3, receive. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, increase that volume for me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's a turning point for some people here. God is breaking some level of change that prayer, fasting have not been able to do. But your season of deliverance has come. He said, I have heard the cry of my people. I have seen, surely seen, the affliction of the tax masters upon them. He said, and I've come down. Ah, Holy Ghost, move. I told us at the beginning of the meeting, when God is coming down, it's so that extraordinary things can happen by Him. Supernatural things can happen by Him. Okay, okay, okay. In Jesus' name. See what God is doing now. Close your eyes if you can. Just listen to me. Just listen to me. Three things are going to be happening simultaneously. Hear me. Just listen to me. Three things are going to be happening how? Simultaneously. Number one, anyone that came in here with a yoke, a burden, that chain is breaking over you tonight. Because he said, I will come down. God is coming down. And that chain will break tonight. Now, if you came here with any sickness, any infirmity, any disease, God is coming down to take that sickness from you. He's taking that infirmity from you. He's taking that disease from you. By himself now. And thirdly tonight, I'm seeing that God, beyond wearing that garment on people tonight, is giving them mantles of ministry. I don't have time. That is why the three of them will be, oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost, my Father, you said you are coming down. You have seen, surely seen, the affliction of your people. You have heard the cries of your people. And you have seen the oppression by the reason of the taxpayers of your people. Anyone under the influence of the sound of my voice, Lord, that is being afflicted tonight, let there be a deliverance now. Let there be a deliverance now. Let there be a deliverance now. I command deliverance outside and inside. Anyone that is under any sickness or under the influence and the bondage of any infirmity, I bind that spirit right now. I curse you to your roots and I command you to lose your grip. Come out of their bodies. In the name of Jesus, I'm releasing the healing power now. Receive it. If you are sick in your body right now, oh my God, it's coming. I saw that many people are under the yoke of sickness. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. Many people tonight, as you are hearing me, you are sick one way or the other. That yoke is being broken tonight. The yoke of sickness is broken tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's being lifted from you to return no more. If you came here sick, check your body. And then, oh my God, see what I'm seeing right now? God is wearing not just that white garment, it's like a calling, it's bringing people. I'm seeing many people enter into strong ministry. I know what I'm saying, strong ministry. Holy Ghost, move! It's not time to pray, it's not time to pray. That's why many of you are not receiving. Can you just close your eyes and release yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, do with me as you please. Everybody say, Lord, do with me as you please. I receive whatsoever you give me now. Okay, that is it. Receive it now. Oh my God. Oh my God. From the back there. Holy Ghost to the front. Move. Hey! Jesus. Yes. 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 Look at me. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. That crippling devil is leaving you now. Whatever the name of that infirmity, sickness, go out of her body. This meaning from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. I pronounce healing. Jesus. Oh my God. There are 15 young people here in this hall. 15 of you. I don't know. Okay. Sorry, not in this hall. In this meeting. 15 of you. Minus this one. That the hand of God will come to you tangibly tonight. And there will be a shift in your destiny forever. 15 of you. 15 of you. Lord, I begin to take count now. Touch them wherever they are. One, young people, 15. God is setting them on fire. Just like Samson. Oh my God, tie the tail of foxes. Oh, count them for me, there must be 15. Holy Ghost, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, those of you, they praise him. Look at me, all of you. Thank you. La barakana masalabaya. La barakane masirabara. Hey, take, take. Jalina. Jesus. Jesus. There's a young man. There's a young man here. I don't know you, but the hand of God is coming upon you here. There's a young man. Lord, who is that person? At the count of three, let your fire burn in their bosom. One, Holy Ghost. Two, Holy Ghost. Three, move. Jalima Rabasata Balaba. Come. Yes. Where's your husband? Do you want the marriage or you don't want it again? Eh? In Jesus' name. There are two people here that have a singing ministry. But I don't know how to explain it. They have not even exploited it. But it's like, you know, when you open a tap, the water will begin to flow. It's not lack of water in the tap that is not making the water flow out of the tap. It's because it is locked. They may not even be here. They may be in the congregation. But God is asking me to, you are one? I don't know. But I'm seeing two people God is activating into the music ministry. And you enter strange realms. You see, but when you sit down in the congregation and you're not joining here, you are unfaithful. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Because you see, the key to everything we'll be doing in this remaining session is faithfulness. Mighty things will be released. I've seen one where the second one lifted the two and God is bringing them. Lord, where are those two people you just spoke to me about? Yes, I lose it now. The least there can be is two. There can be more than two, but not less than two. Lord, let the music ministry be unleashed now. I open it. I open that valve. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Please, can you let me lay hand on them? I'm not touching anybody tonight. Please, sir. Let me lay hand on them. As they're bringing them, just lay hand on them. Please. Just lay hand on them. Now, you came in here sick tonight. Let me see your hand up. You came into this hall sick. You came here with sickness. You came into this hall with sickness. Let me see your hand. Now, check your body. Are you healed? No, check it. Do what you couldn't do before now. Do what you are looking at me. I said, do what you couldn't do. You couldn't hear. Come. Bring this girl. Come here. Open your eyes and look at me. Look into my eyes.
Today marks the end of this oppression in your life. And whether you like it or not, you are a vessel unto God from today. You can hear with this ear or the two. This particular one. Lord, what you did anywhere, you do again. I command deafness, partial deafness, to go now. You foul spirit of deafness. Loose him and let him go. I command the ears open in the name of Jesus. Now I command you to begin to hear in the right ear from this minute in Jesus' name. Now close your left ear, the one that you are hearing with. Can we sing a song to the Lord? Don't look at me like that. Please, let's worship his name. I'm not the one that did that. Did I do anything? So let's return the glory to the one who did it. He said, I will come down and deliver my people. I will come down and deliver. Leave him. He's celebrating God. I like to celebrate God. I like to express himself.
The story. Change your story. Change your story.
Bring that guy in. What's up?
Change.
Now, listen to me. Can you hear me? For want of time. Sir, you are the one to lay hand on that young man. This particular one. I don't know for what God is actually activating in him, but you are the one to lay hand. I don't know when who they were bringing, but it's the man, the August prophet, that is praying for him, not me. Now listen to this. In this conference, like I said, two basic things I believe God called me to do in this meeting is to activate the anointing for wealth and to keep you healthy. Did you hear what I just said? Now, one of the strongest things that will happen to you is not just that you are healthy, but that you will begin to walk in the miraculous. You know, you are going to walk out of this conference with strong power. In church right now, and that's the greatest testimonies we enjoy. I'll share them with you today. My sons and daughters, okay, let me tell. A lady saw a vision. Her child was sick. She was in the hospital. She was asking God for help. She saw in a vision that a pastor came. She had not met me before. And then she greeted me in my dialect, the Gala language. And then I responded. And then she now told me the child's condition, and I entered into their world. So I one of my cousins had stroke. He's elderly. I can't even call him at home. But we are cousins by relationship. Now what happened was this. As I was coming to visit him in the hospital, the woman greeted me. You know, as a minister, you don't know who knows you and who doesn't know you. So as she greeted me in the gala, I responded. And then she ran to me and said, sir, my baby is that. And I entered the children's for the, what do you call that ward now? Pediatric ward. And there were like 9 children on admission, including one with burns, first degree burns. And as I was praying for them, the Lord said, declare. You know, it looks impossible. He said, declare to them that by this time tomorrow, they are all discharged. In fact, I should discharge them. And I made that pronouncement and I left. This lady I'm talking about was a Muslim convert. She's attending our church now because of this singular encounter. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the 9 children by 9 a.m. the next morning, including the one with first degree burn, was discharged. Miraculous. Some of my children who followed me to that meeting saw what God was doing, and they came to meet me after service. This was like on a Saturday, then we had service on Sunday. After service on Sunday, they came and met me and said, Daddy, we want to start hospital evangelism. How many of them? 7 of them. And I just laid my hands on them and breathed upon them. That was all. We are not recovering from testimonies again. So that other people, other sets are coming now. We're having different levels of evangelism to different places because of that. But there's no Sunday. And I lie not under God and on this altar. You know, I wouldn't do that. That we don't receive. That
right now we don't, 20 minutes is no longer enough for us to take testimonies on Sundays. But and the queue is more that you don't even know who to tell not to come and who not to come. We are struggling with testimonies, but the major thing is this: out of those testimonies, majority of the testimonies comes from not miracles that God did through me. That's my joy. It comes from the testimonies that people who attend meetings like this, are you getting me now? Leave and go out, and then they walk in the supernatural. It is my greatest desire that you are not just going to live healthy. You get it? Because the reason why God is keeping you healthy also is so that you can do ministry. That through your hands, the sick will be healed. And mighty miracles will be wrought through you. So I want you to go home tonight and spend some time placing a demand on this meeting. But I know one thing for sure. The topography of the people, my people, that God has called, as it has to do with wealth, will change. I don't know.